Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area and the fastest growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world with over 200,000 listeners in over 80 countries. During the first hour from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Seattle time today, I'll be interviewing Mary Liz Murphy. She's a wonderful psychic from New York City, and she'll be channeling George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, and others on the future of the United States and how we can make this world a much better and happier place. During the second hour from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m., I'll be bringing on several gentlemen, including Anthony Federico from Los Angeles and Jason Armstrong from beautiful Vancouver, Canada, and they'll be talking about the trip that I took with them and others to Mount Shasta, which just ended 2 days ago. A lot of miracles happened on the trip. A man who had ALS disease, which is a neurological disease, was partially cured, and he was able to walk freely again after 30 years. Jason's eyesight was restored. He's worn glasses for 25 years, and now he no longer needs glasses. He just threw away his glasses yesterday. And for myself, perfect 20/15 vision was restored to my right eye after 42 years of blurred farsight vision in my right eye. I had burned my retina looking at the sun 42 years ago, and now I have perfect eyesight in both eyes. So we'll be talking about those miracles. We also saw UFOs, which zigzag across the sky for us every night. We saw Sasquatch dancing across the road on our way into Mount Shasta. And it was an incredible experience, and we'll be going over that during our second hour. Before we start, I'd like to thank everyone's support for this radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the top upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I really appreciate all your wonderful help and support, because I know together we can create a much better and happier world. Also, I'd really like to thank Corey and Saul and Kirkland for their generous support, and everyone around the world who helped me raise consciousness and make this planet a better place. I also would like to thank the many sponsors of this show, and we're also looking for sponsors and advertisers. Any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience in over 80 countries with more than 200,000 listeners for your goods and services. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website, providing wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, and of course Eric at KKNW, who's my wonderful program producer. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides, and if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who have passed on or contact your guides and get some good spiritual advice, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793, or toll free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. I wanted to tell everyone my next Galactic Wisdom Conference will be held in Olympia, Washington from April 12th to the 16th, 2019. We'll have some amazing people, including Aaron Elizabeth of Health Nut News, as well as Simon Parks, who will be giving presentations. If you register before the end of the year, the cost for the entire conference will be just $55. After December 1st, the cost will go up to $125 for the whole conference. I wanted to tell you about some wonderful psychic fairs that are coming up. Great, thank you. We'll tell you about tomorrow, on September 29th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. I'll be having a wonderful psychic fair in Olympia at 9101 Stillicum Road. The event's free, and I'll be there along with some other wonderful psychics and vendors. Then again, on November 10th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., I'll be having Michiko Hayashi from the Moto Peace Project. She'll be giving Hado treatments, and we'll also have a wonderful group of psychics giving readings there as well, and crystal sellers. That'll be on November 10th, and again on March 9th, I'll be again having another fair here in Olympia at 9101 Stillicum Road. If you'd like more information about this, please call me at 509-750-9793. All the events are free, and if you're a vendor and would like to have a table at the events, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. at gmail.com. I'd like to say some prayers for the people on the east coast of the U.S., which are facing a hurricane now. Please send lots of love and light to them. And also, too, of course, there's been a lot of fires in Northern California. And to start my show off today, I'd like to bring on Grant Kaur of the U.S. Forest Service in the Mount Shasta area, who's been battling the fires in the Shasta area, and also like to ask everyone to join us in some prayers for so that these fires can be stopped and Grant can be helped in his work. Grant, are you there?
Hey, Ted, how are you doing?
Oh, good. So good to talk to you, Grant. How's it going down there? How much are the fires contained?
So things are going well. Yesterday we were at 11% containment, and we're at 28% containment today. We're at 28% containment today, and that's up 11% from yesterday. And we're up 1,591 acres to a total of 60,018 acres burned on the Delta Fire. Crews and engines and air resources have been working diligently to go ahead and protect life and property and provide for firefighter safety. So thus far, we've been very happy with what we've been able to accomplish, and we hope to keep this going and continue to have positive work on the line.
Well, I'd like to ask everyone listening today around the world to please send lots of love and light to Grant and the firefighters who are protecting nature and people and homes there in the area and the wildlife. You guys do a wonderful job. And also, too, I'd like for everyone to please say this prayer after me. It's called the Ho'onopono prayer, and it's from Hawaii. And people in the past have used it to do miraculous things and to do miracles. And so I'd like to perform perform some good miracles today, and to help you ask all my listeners to help you and your friends, Grant, fighting the fires. And if you could, please say this this prayer after me. Dear Earth, we are sorry. Dear Earth, please forgive us. Dear Earth, we love you, and dear Earth, we thank you. Twice more. Dear Earth, we are sorry. Dear Earth, please forgive us. Dear Earth, we love you, and dear Earth, we thank you. And one last time. Dear Earth, we're sorry. Dear Earth, please forgive us. Dear Earth, we love you, and dear Earth, we thank you. And Grant, thank you so much on behalf of all my listeners around the world for your wonderful efforts. We're sending you lots of love and light and all your firefighters to stop these fires soon.
Well, thank you so much, Ted. We really appreciate that, and thank you.
Okay. All right, Grant. You have a wonderful day, and again, thank you so much for your beautiful work.
Yes, sir. You as well. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much, Grant. That was Grant Kaur of the U.S. Forest Service fighting the fires in Northern California. And with that, I'd love to bring on Mary Liz Murphy from New York City. She's a fantastic psychic, and she's been she had a near-death experience in the 1980s, which began her spiritual journey. And since that time, she's been channeling the founding people of the United States, including George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, and others. And I'd love to bring her in now to talk to her about what messages they may have on our future. Mary, are you there?
Yes, I am, Ted. Good afternoon. And actually, greetings. I'm not in New York right now, so I hope my reception is okay here.
It's perfectly fine. Sisters. Yeah, it's totally great. Fine. Not to worry. Not to worry.
Everyone in California dealing with the fires and the floods in the East Coast. I'm in the Midwest where it's gorgeous right now. I just send love and light to everybody.
Oh, good. Well, we just did some prayers for both the East Coast flooding and the hurricane there and the fires in Northern California now too. So
yes, I saw that. So I'm with you all in spirit.
Oh good. Well, you've had a fascinating life. You had a near death experience in the 1980s. What happened during, if you don't mind me asking, during your near death experience,
sure,
Mary?
Sure. I was a junior exec in New York City, trying to make a go of it. I was in my mid-30s, dressed out the wazoo, and I went on a spa retreat with a girlfriend, and I was out running and I was in Bermuda, and I got attacked by guard dogs at one of the big mansions, and they went to rip open my throat. And
oh, my God.
What? I didn't want to be there. I was taken out of my body so fast. Now, the guard for them screamed their code, and they sat down in front of me, but I was taken out of my body. And this was 30 years ago, Ted, and I was shown in that experience what our true nature is as spiritual human beings, how connected we are to our whole being, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, to humanity as a whole, and most importantly, to Source. And I was shown
beautiful.
And I experienced it, and then I had to come back into the body in that violent situation with the dogs there and the cops and everything else.
Oh, my gosh.
It took me a very long time to assimilate that, because that was the truth of who I am and we are. So it really started my 30-year journey. And I stayed in the corporate world for many years after that, because it was a different reality. And we learn who we are by what we are not. You know, I often, when I work with clients, I explain to them one of the reasons you date is to find out what does not work for you, to find what does in a relationship. And to me, that's kind of life's process. So I stayed in that very corporate mindset, masculine-driven work environment for a number of years. And then I had an opportunity to buy out of my contract, and I went around the world for a few months and went to, you know, not your resort areas. I went to back areas of Thailand and Turkey and with my husband in Budapest and backpacking in Australia. And I saw how people that were living off of the land were just so happy and balanced and at peace with themselves. And they had nothing compared to what we have in America. So when I came back, I realized the old paradigm didn't work for me anymore. And so that's what really started me on my career path for a healing journey. And I started with nutrition, because the body is, you know, really where we live. And when I was working with people, I discovered that they were blocked. Everyone knows we need to eat more vegetables and drink more water, sleep more. But why don't we do it? And I became fascinated with the non-physical, which brought me back to that experience pulled out of my body of what it was like to be in true balance and harmony with ourselves. So it was actually after a trip to India that I started connecting with the founding fathers. The channel opened up for many higher frequencies after the dog attack, but specifically as part of my soul agreement was with the founding fathers was in 2004. And I've been right after 2012 is when I started writing this book that I'm working on, that I really want to start sharing the message on. I hope to have it published next year.
Wonderful.
But the message to really share with you and your listeners is coming from some of, you mentioned some of the keystone founding fathers. There are several that I've been working with that are the archetypes for our current society, and they all represent different aspects of our beings. But the bottom line is we have our freedom. Their job was not to give us our freedom. We have that. It's that we're not living freely.
Oh, very profound. Very profound. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, so, you know, I heard the wonderful interview that you had with Simon recently, and hearing people saying, you know, why is this shift happening in America? Well, let me lend a little insight that might help. This is where the ground has been made fertile, partly with the Native American energy here to create the receptivity for something new. And then the founding fathers, their sole contract was to imprint unity consciousness into the grid here and then to set up structures for it. But the issue that we're still dealing with is, as humanity, we weren't healed yet. And they said by the time the Constitution and the whole Thomas system that Hamilton particularly worked on, by the time they put it all together, they knew psychically it wasn't going to unfold. And I remember something that Simon had quoted from Ben Franklin, who said, "We've handed you the republic. Now it's up to you. Are you going to really keep it?"
I've heard that.
Humanity, yeah. Now that was a actual quote. Since I'm working with someone on the soul level, now that they're on the other side, they're showing that they realize now humanity wasn't whole enough and healed to unfold what they put together. But now is the time. They created the outer revolution. It's our time now to create the inner revolution.
Oh, my goodness. That's very profound.
Many of us think of it as the ascension process, self-actualization, enlightenment, however you want to resonate with it. It's really all about it being true to who we really are.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. I want to ask you, Simon's been on my show before, and he said that the ascension process into the higher dimensions will be completed by the year 2025, or could it be even be sooner? Have your friends on the other side talked about that or anything?
It's up to us. It's up to us.
Okay.
You know, what they've done, and this will be spelled out in the book, is they've given us a game plan of the how to unfold their original intention and what we need to get back to that. Because we're really off course. I mean, when I hear what's going on in Washington, and I have a cousin who is a congresswoman, so I kind of get a little of the inside scoop.
Sure.
We're not victims. It's about us. And I love what Simon said about what you can do. Contact your representatives. Vote. We have to step up in personal responsibility.
Sure.
But to do that, we need to first understand where we are. We can only change from where we are. So what the Founding Fathers want us to understand is, and I'm sure you're probably aware of this and many of your listeners, that our human nature has been conditioned for thousands of years to see ourselves as separate beings. And as separate beings, we're disconnected from the whole of who we are, our feelings, our relationships with other people, our connection with Source. And in that separation, it's created a fear, a survival fear.
Right.
Because I'm separate. I have to fend for myself. I have to control my environment. I've got to conquer the outside world. I have to conceal my weaknesses. I'd have to compete to get the resources, the limited resources. And so we're functioning from a survival fear rather than what they did. They say the only difference between us and them is that we still believe in living in survival. They believe, it, which is very limiting, they believe in living in limitless possibilities.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
And to do that requires faith and trust that your needs will be met.
I think we had that kind of vision with President Kennedy back in the early 60s before he was assassinated. But since that time, frankly, we've had a series of dismal presidents who've, if nothing else, have left the American public and the world with depression. So it's been a turnaround. But President Kennedy, who I've been talking to on the other side now for the past, I don't know, about 3 years now, you know, he said that he's still our president and he's working behind the scenes to help us.
Yeah.
Which is so beautiful. He actually told me about his efforts to bring world peace last November with President Trump and other world leaders. And he said, "Don't tell anyone, but you'll soon see what I'm talking about." And then we had the North Korean agreement for peace. So he'd apparently been working with President Trump and Kim Jong-un in Korea. North Korea, and he'd work into their minds. He went into their minds and gave them ideas and suggestions about how to get along and work out a peace agreement. And it worked. And he's continuing to do that on the other side as our president.
Yes. Yes. Those of the light are. Washington mm-hmm. says, because I'm really a spiritual leader, and I am still your spiritual leader, until mm-hmm. there is unity consciousness for all mm-hmm. of humanity, that is his role. I mean, we have many, many spiritual masters working with us. But
sure.
I remember hearing one of your listeners say, but things are going to happen in Australia. Well, mm-hmm. part of what the founding fathers are saying, the land is tilled here to anchor it, but it mm-hmm. will spread throughout humanity, and all of your listeners are those seeds around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it will spread rapidly. And I remember hearing 2025. That all sounds very feasible to me. I haven't been shown dates yet, but what I have been shown is that this survival fear that we have, it's rooted in a fear of not being good enough to have your needs met, our needs met, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's rooted mm-hmm. in the financial psyche.
Mm.
So that's where we need to start the healing.
Well, I have to tell you.
Understand that.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I have to tell you about, it was back in the late 80s when Dolores Cannon took a group of her students. She was a wonderful American psychic, and they contacted Nostradamus back in the 15th, 16th century France. And he was so happy to talk to them because he explained his quatrains and what they meant. And back at that time, he had forecasted several things, including a third world war starting in the Balkans and spreading to the United States, with many American cities in ruin by 2005. And guess what? That never happened.
No.
Yeah. And then the second thing he said, would there be an ascension process, which is still happening now, but that would be completed by the year 2038. And since that time, Nostradamus has moved that date up. He moved it to 2028, 3 years ago. And since that time, he's also moved it to 2025, along in parallel with Simon Park's mm-hmm. prediction. So the process is accelerating, and it is truly a beautiful time to be alive.
Yes, and that's the truth. It's up to us. As I said, mm-hmm. we have our freedom, and as we mm-hmm. realize that. So what the founding fathers have said is what they were working with was really a spiritual technology. They call it the sacred triangle of human mm. expression,
mm-hmm.
and that when we start really waking up and owning that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, in the mm-hmm. human condition, rather than mm-hmm. thinking of ourselves as human doings to, you know, keep the roof over our head.
Right.
Having that victim consciousness, fear, survival fear attitude, we will accelerate this process. And so their soul contract, as I said, was to imprint the unity consciousness and set up the structures for that divine blueprint to be able to unfold. So they were only the way showers us to how to use our freedom. And when we understand what this blueprint is and how to use it, then we're on our way. And the sacred triangle is recognizing that at the top is our soul driver, to recognize we're a spiritual being. And that's mm-hmm. what inspires and ignites our visions of who we want to be in this world. And that then ignites the passion of what they call the art of the heart. Every one of us human beings is blessed and born with amazing gifts and talent.
Mm-hmm.
And when we own it from the inside out, that passion then gets expressed through what they call the curious mind. And the curious mm-hmm. mind is the how-to. That's the rationale, the logical step. Now, the problem is, because we've been living in this survival fear, we've been functioning backwards within the divine blueprint. And we've been focusing on just how to get our needs met. And they call that the overdrive of the curious mind. And the overdrive is, you know, the excess of using the masculine energy. And I by no means mean male. The masculine mm-hmm. energy is one of two aspects of how we source our power, the masculine and the feminine. So the masculine is about the results-oriented, the action-driven external, which is very necessary from a survival standpoint. But now we're waking up to embrace the whole of who we are, which is more of the feminine, which is more trusting, nurturing, intuitive, creative, and the goal is to bring them in balance and harmony. And so the whole structure of the Constitution and the commerce system were by divine design to support the expression of the sacred triangle as individuals and as the United States of America, and then to spread throughout humanity.
Wow, that's what beautiful, profound words. Thank you so much for sharing that. Well, two things. I've just gotten a request from one of my listeners. If you've gotten any messages from our dear friend Abraham Lincoln.
No, they just refer to him. I'm dealing with the Core Foundation.
Okay.
However, they do speak dearly of their dear brother Abe.
Okay. That's nice.
And Thomas Jefferson talks a lot about slavery and where the consciousness was at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're elevating our consciousness, we're able to embrace more the truth of who we are. And that was not possible back then. They saw themselves as stewards for both women and the Native Americans, as well as the African Americans at that time. So I'm sorry, I don't have any particular messages other than that they expressed tremendous fondness for him.
That's okay. I get questions in all the time, and somebody just asked about Abraham Lincoln. My galactic friends, I've been in touch with what's called the Galactic Alliance for the past 3 years now, and they're an alliance of 450 million planets in this one-third part of the Milky Way galaxy. They number about 7 trillion entities, and they're mostly human and very evolved. They're up to 100,000 years ahead of us technologically and up to 50,000 years ahead of us spiritually. And they say that they've told me that outside of planet Earth, there no advanced human civilization uses money. It's more like a barter system, but people's needs they're not predicated on the survival mode at all, and it's all based on service to self. So I've always remembered that, and I've asked before about when this system's going to change. Presumably, it'll change within 7 years or so when we reach the higher densities, and money will not be needed. For one thing, they say we'll have free energy. And people will be living far longer than they do now because you'll have the disease elimination, both disease and poverty.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
What I understand about the money thing, in fact, one of the things that Hamilton in particular on the other side, he's had to heal for himself, is having set up the commerce system on a usury system. And now that he's back on the other side, what they explain is that the imbalance that we still have, I mean, we need a transition structure. And that's what they set up is really the transition structure until we do fully ascend. But he said that greed, small-mindedness, and a lack of unity consciousness are the three ills that are keeping society in this quagmire of victim consciousness, quite honestly, that we're still in. But as each of us wakes up and accepts our free will choice and makes more conscious choices, we will accelerate the process that you're talking about. Yes, free energy, that's everything I've been shown, too. So many of these natural resources are ready to be available when we're ready to receive them.
Sure. And in the past, it's not like people haven't tried. I know that there's technologies out there. There was a fellow named Stan Meyer who invented a water car in the 1990s that actually ran on water. And he died a mysterious death in Ohio in the early 1990s, where he was poisoned. And then you don't hear about his water car anymore. You know, it's gone. I think there's been a lot of inventors out there with wonderful ideas. And it's not like we haven't tried, but I think the time is ripe for that now, actually.
I'll be honest. One of the reasons that it's taken me a while to be working on this book is my own fear of bringing forth what I'm being shown. So what's missing is the means, the foundation for America, and again, America just as being the template for humanity. So I know you have listeners all over the world. This pertains to all of us. It's just meant to get ignited here because the soil, as I say, the fertile soil is here consciously. The means is what's missing. And the means really is self-love. Because can we, when we can accept what is true, and that means accepting ourselves with all of our wounds, all of our strengths, all of our issues, all of our history, then we're able to do it with each other.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Mary. I've got a message.
You have a message?
I got a message. Yeah, I have a message for you. And the message is that you're completely protected. You don't need to worry about finishing your book because you can speak freely and ask the Galactics to come in and help you, and they will, so that and protect you. What I do for spiritual protection, I do the HUE, try to do it every day, and it's the HUE in human. I'll demonstrate it here. It's like the OM in India, but when you say OM, it goes to your heart chakra. When you say the HUE, it opens up your pineal gland and it brings in the Galactics. So I try to do that 3, 4, 5 times a day. And it really, it's very helpful. It's also helpful in traffic jams. If you're stuck in traffic, sometimes the Galactics will come in and open up a lane for you so you can get through faster.
Yes. Thank you. No, I'm totally open to that. And I've been to Mount Shasta and up on the top of the mountains and convened with them and so forth and feel it. Yes. And that's why I'm just coming up now to begin to speak about it, because I do thank you for validating that. I do feel completely protected. Now it's just getting the mechanics of it finished and out there, because it's time for this to come out, and it's time for people. I'm ready to share it, and I think people are ready to hear it. So, because there's nothing wrong with our system. There's nothing wrong. It's just that we have not been healed. As they say, the united state of the individual is what was their intention to create, the United States of America.
Okay.
We have our freedom. We have our freedom. We just have not really chosen to live freely. If you're struggling in any aspect of your life, you have not chosen to be in your freedom. Like, whoa, when I heard that one, I had to work with that one for a while.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. I have to ask you, Mary Liz, people ask me sometimes about, near-death experiences. Were you given a choice of either pass on, go over to the other side, or come back? Or did they just say, it's time for you to go back and it's not your time yet? Something like that when you had your experience?
I'm glad you asked that, Ted. What happened is I totally surrendered and saw a past life of mine in ancient Egypt. I mean, I was in the body of a darker person with long, skinny hands. And what I was shown is that I chose this time to surrender, and I realized that there was no death. And that's when my channel opened. To be honest, I started to work with the archangelic realm and Archangel Michael. And he said, you now understand there is no death. And he showed me how in ancient Egypt, I was in a mystery school and thrown to those black dogs you see in all old pyroglyphic.
Oh, really? Dogs. Okay, yeah, I've seen the black dogs, yeah.
And my throat, and had my throat ripped open. And
oh, my gosh.
I was willing, and I died in vain, because here I was teaching these profound truths, and yet the Pharaoh had me, like, moved on, so to speak. So I died mundane that time. So I was I surrendered, if that answered your question. I was willing to go, as violent as it was, but these dogs, Doberman, like, you know, the teeth were coming out my throat. It was violent, and yet I was peaceful.
One thing, I hope you don't mind me saying this on the air, but I'd like to give you a healing sometime so you can deal with that energy, because it's still a little bit there. And if you can get rid of it,
sure,
you'll be able to. Yeah, we'll do it after the show. But, you know, we're all many of us here are very old souls, and we have all kinds of experiences from different lifetimes. I know I've got my own with me too. But you have to kind of work on them. But half the battle actually is remembering what you were. And now that you've remembered it, you can heal yourself.
Oh yes, and one thing, Ted, this might be of interest to you and some of your audience listeners. Mm-hmm. I was shown back then, and this is 30 years ago now, that over the course of my life, I would be reconnecting with associates from that mystery school. And that
really?
You would just know it. You would click, yes, and that you're all here for the same sole purpose, to lead into the ascension. And 30 years ago, I didn't know what that meant, the ascension, and being
sure.
a leader, you know. But over the course of my experience, I've learned, and sure enough, I mean, people, we were probably in that school together. You know, when you just click with some people, you recognize them, and you know, maybe not, but there are people you click with, you know that you have part of that same soul purpose, and you've done it before, you've worked together before, and now you're just carrying on.
That's true. Yeah. One of the things that my spirit friends on the other side have told me, and I'd love to run this by you, Mary, is that everyone here, virtually everyone, suffers amnesia when they're born here. And then it takes you 50, 40, 50, 60 years to find out who you are and why you're here. And then you pass on. That was my case anyway. And actually, before I reincarnated here, that's what I was actually warned about that. They said, my guides told me, they said, well, you come down here to earth to raise consciousness and help with the ascension process. But the trick is that you're given amnesia, and you're supposed to remember everything, which is often very difficult, for many people. But anyway, you're doing beautiful work, and I can't wait for you.
Yeah, I'd be interested in what your experience is, because I thought since 2012, I feel a lot of the veil falling. Now, the Egypt thing happened over years where I was shown, and actually, no, I kind of got it right away, to be honest, because I was so brought into that fragment of my soul. But after 2012 is when the veil really dropped for me around the Founding Fathers, and I've been experiencing my soul fragment experience from that lifetime. And that's why I can write this book, because of my experience with them there.
Wonderful.
So that you're not finding that for yourself in the recent years?
Well, I've been here for 52,000 years, or about 720 lifetimes. I came from the Pleiades. And they had a civil war way back then, and then I volunteered to come down here, and I'm ready to move on. 52,000 years is a long time. It's two Mayan Katun cycles, and I'm about ready to move on. And actually, you were from the Pleiades too, and you volunteered to come down here, and they gave you the same warning that they gave me, that you would forget your soul purpose and why you came. And so and it took some years. It took you into your 30s. It took me into my 40s, well, 50s actually, 40s and 50s before I realized why I was here and my soul purpose and everything. But that, I think that's happening with a lot of people right now.
Yeah, I agree. And I think just particularly since 2012, I can really feel the acceleration, which is, I also think, one of the reasons why you're getting a lot of the guidance and many others about the ascension process quickening. Because more of us wake up to our soul purpose, you know, we'll be more empowered to live in our freedom of who we really are.
Well, I have to share this story with you now. I'm going to be talking about it next hour with some other friends who were with me at Mount Shasta last week. But I am seeing clearly, much more clearer now spiritually than I ever have in the past. And Adama, who's a guiding spirit of the Lemurian civilization in Telos beneath Mount Shasta, came to me a couple nights ago, and he asked whether I wanted a healing. And I said, sure, I'd love one. And because I've been seeing clearer spiritually, he healed my right eye two nights ago. And my right eye, 42 years ago, I damaged my retina by looking at the sun in my right eye. I had 20/30 vision, and it was blurry for long distances. Not bad, but enough where I could see a noticeable difference. And they healed my vision, so my vision now in both eyes is 20/15. Very sharp, very clear eyes. So I've been getting used to seeing the world a little differently now, and I can't tell you how happy I am. And he just told me, he also, on my drive back from Mount Shasta, normally it can take 10, 12 hours, and they shifted, he told me they shifted the timeline, so it was a little bit after, a little over 8 hours back here, and so the several hours just kind of disappeared. They shifted the timeline so I'd get here sooner and I wouldn't be up all night. But anyway, and you're going to be experiencing the same kinds of miracles too. And I think a lot of people are too.
That's something too. We can stretch time. In New York, I do that all the time. Catch the subway or a train. Yeah, we can stretch time. We're that powerful. It's just that, you know, what's the expression of Mandela? People's greatest fear is not how, well, what's the expression?
They don't realize. Well, you know, the interesting thing is, when I talk to Zorob, he's of the Hollow Earth, he always says, when I talked to him on the air and in private, he said, how are you today, my great master? Because he looks at all of us as great masters with the spark of the supreme being within us with the ability to do anything we want in a good way for humanity and the planet. So I always feel so elevated when he speaks to me, because he's very, very uplifting and in a very, very, very positive way. That's why I've been so happy about our future. It truly is a bright future. I had thought years ago that there might be another nuclear war in Armageddon. There was a fellow on Coast to Coast Radio a couple nights ago, some pastor or priest that George Norrie had brought on, and all he could do was talk about Armageddon, the end of the world. And I turned it off after about 5 or 10 minutes, because I said, you know, I don't need this negativity, because I know it's not going to happen, and all my spirit friends say the same thing. So,
my reality.
No. And for my many listeners around the world, when you do hear negativity like that, just turn it off. Either it's on the television or the radio, because it's not what's going to happen. You know, it's not what's going to happen.
You know, something that might be of interest on the spark that you speak of the divinity that's within each of us, the American flag. Do you know why they chose stars, the founding fathers?
No.
Chose stars.
No.
You know, most of us, we always grew up thinking it was, well, it represents each state, which it does.
Right.
It represents the cosmic energy within each of us, that we are stardust.
Mm. Wow.
The same conscious.
Really? Oh, my God.
Source. Yes. That's why they chose the star. It represents the cosmic divinity within each of us.
Mm-hmm. Wow, beautiful.
The same power as the stars. And I love that. Every time I look at a flag now, I just, wow.
Little did we know.
Yeah.
Wow, what a... Also, I'm getting the message that the stars in the U.S. flag are actually... this is incorporated with the stars, not only the stars of the universe, but also the stars of the seven sisters of the Pleiades as well, because we have that energy in that.
Oh, yeah.
In there, too.
What did you say? The 7 trillion entities?
Mm-hmm. 7 trillion entities, about, give or take. I haven't had a chance to count them all, but there's quite a few, they tell me. So.
what, 200 years wasn't enough yet?
52,000 years. Yeah, it's been a while here. But I'm ready to leave. But I want to say too, I'd love to know what the founding fathers say about this too. I know we've got some struggles ahead, but the future is very clear on having a beautiful, bright future. It's not that the negative entities aren't going to try. For example, the prayers that we gave earlier today to stop the fires in Northern California, many of those fires are not natural. And what I've seen on YouTube, and I'd love your opinion on this, is our directed particle beam weapons, some of which are being done by the reptilians in order to wreak havoc on humanity. But that's what I've heard. I got just two more emails people wanted me to mention on the air. So have the founding fathers talked about like what kinds of challenges we'll be facing the next couple of years before ascension?
No, more about what we need to do.
Okay.
To step up. And mm-hmm. number one is, they say, the critical missing link, Ted, is taking mm-hmm. ownership.
Okay.
That's the critical missing link. Jefferson refers to it as personal leadership.
Mm.
Taking responsibility
okay.
for our free will choices by being conscious. And everything mm-hmm. from our credit cards and paying mm-hmm. off our debt, living within mm-hmm. our means, to voting,
mm-hmm.
To, and then another key message is balancing how we source our power between
sure.
the balance of the masculine and the feminine.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big message of Franklin, and understanding that we are spiritual human beings and that we're here to be in the full expression of our divine blueprint that they call the sacred triangle, and that the systems are in place to support that, but we just need to step up and see it and own it. And to do that requires forgiveness, forgiving to ourselves first, to
mm-hmm.
accept the way we've been living through humanity. I mean, all of humanity, mm-hmm. as well as personally, and with compassion. And that when we do that for ourselves, that then allows us to have tolerance and compassion for our brothers and sisters in humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what
mm-hmm.
leads to justice, what leads to unfolding the union here, and that to see that there's nothing wrong with the structure. It's our unhealed state of greed, small-mindedness, you know, me stuff,
mm-hmm.
and the lack of unity, understanding what you do affects the whole.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've kind of, what I've been getting is more just step up and be your own way shower to freedom. They
mm-hmm.
actually, they were the way showers to freedom. Now us to just step up and accept it. And
mm-hmm.
Jefferson says that our greatest fear is not having our freedom taken away from us.
Mm-hmm.
Our greatest fear is the power to accept our freedom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Wonderful. I can't wait for the future, Mary. I just can't wait.
Yeah.
I just
yeah.
can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's
yeah.
happening right now, one day at a time. And I'm sure all your listeners are stepping up. If they're listening,
mm-hmm.
they're open and they're working on themselves.
Well, what President Kennedy's told me is that the kinds of changes that he tried to institute in the early 1960s before he was assassinated, the changes would have resulted in a fifth dimensional planet by now. We would have had a really beautiful place with free energy
yeah.
and along the elimination of poverty and we'd be living hundreds of years more than we are now. But because he said it's the destiny of this planet to ascend to the higher dimensions, this is why the changes now are coming not so much from the top down, although there are some from the top down, but more or less it's coming from the bottom up. You and me, everyone
yeah.
listening today, we're the ones making the difference in the planet and, helping things along to ascend into the higher dimensions. That's why the dates have been moved up from 2038 from Nostradamus 20 years ago to 2028 a couple of years ago, now 2025, it might even go to 2024 mm-hmm. because we literally have the future in our hands and we're the ones that can help with this process. There's
that's
nobody else.
No, that's the same message that I'm getting. They said that look at Obama, former President Obama, and how he started grassroots as a community organizer. It needs to, he says, any real powerful change always starts grassroots. And Adams talks about that with what they did in Boston.
Really? What does he say? I'd love to hear that.
It really all started. He said he was an attorney, and he was, his expression, pissed off when the taxes started going up on paper and newspapers. He goes, I was an attorney. I used a lot of paper.
And oh, wow.
So it was a personal violation. That's how it started for him. And then on a community level, and then it spread locally, and then they realized that their sense of personal entitlement was being taken away. And he said the wave of that consciousness just spread from one colony to another. But he said it started for him being pissed off because...
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
...paper. So for each of us to look at, what are the little transgressions that we feel and stand up for our rights? But he says that we don't have to do it in an outer revolution now. We don't do it through battling and fighting. We do it by linking arms and coming together. And for the women in your audience, Franklin talks about how it's in the blueprint that women are actually going to be the ones to link arms and stand up first and then bring along the enlightened men and create the change. Because for men, they feel like they've invested so much in creating their power and there is more at stake. And this is a sweeping generalization, okay? Sweeping generalization. So please take it that way. I don't think
I agree with you. There's always exceptions. But, and I think women are leading the spiritual revolution on this planet.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. And even Dalai Lama, you know, you've heard his quote a million times. It's the Western woman that's going to change. So, and that's because the land is fertile here for it to start. We have more freedoms, but we haven't really understood the power of who we are and how to use our freedom. And so you're seeing it in the little extremes with, like, the Me Too movement and, you know, it's black and white. But it'll all come into fold. And as you suggested with our dear JFK, my understanding also was the 60s was when we had the opportunity, but we weren't grounded enough yet.
Right.
So we have to go through this period, as you say, all these presidents were not so great, to see what doesn't work for us in order to step up in our personal leadership. Our presidents were not meant to be leaders of our lives. We're meant to be, as Jefferson says, personal leadership. Each of us steps up. And when we really do that, and then all the energies are free and all of that, we'll go back to bartering. We won't need money. But in this transition period, we do need it. But it's how we, you know, work with it fairly.
Wonderful. Wow. Wonderful. We've got about 2 minutes left, Mary, and I want to give you some time now to wrap up your beautiful interview today.
Ah, thank you.
Maybe some parting thoughts for my audience on how they can make this world a better place.
Ah, start with yourself. It's like the ripple in the pond. Start with ourselves. You change your relationship with yourself, and it changes your relationship with your world. And we all need to start small. And quite honestly, I don't think any of us are small. We've been playing too small. To start with yourself. You know, and know that your purpose is to be in your full self-expression. And everything, all the systems are there to support you. We just need to continue shifting. The groundwork is there for us, as you so well pointed out, Ted.
Wonderful, wonderful. Mary, what's your website so people can maybe get a hold of you or see more of your work?
LifeForceSolutions.com.
Okay, great. Great. Well, Mary Liz, I hope you have a beautiful and happy day. And thank you again so much for coming on today. I really, really love talking to you.
Thank you. I appreciate this opportunity, Ted. It was great connecting with you, too.
Okay, my friend. You take care and have a beautiful day. That was Mary Liz Murphy from New York with wonderful messages from Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, among others, about our beautiful, bright future. I'd like to play the Japanese water song now, and then the next hour, in a few minutes, we'll be talking about Telos and the miracles which occurred there last week. Please, at Mount Shasta, please stay tuned, friends.